There's a radical change happening in real estate private equity right under our nose. In 2012, the Jobs Act passed, which revolutionized the way that people could raise capital. Not only that, technology, such as investor portals, social media, have allowed people to raise retail capital at scale. Prior to 2012 and the new technology advancements and the advancement of social media, allowing sponsors to reach hundreds and thousands of people, people used to raise retail money or private money, and they would call it country club money, right? They would hang around their rich friends and they would pass the hat around and raise money at 100 grand or 500 grand or $1 million at a time. And this used to work really well, and this allowed people to buy $1 million properties, $5 million properties, even $10 million properties. Now, in today's day and age, something crazy has happened. Now sponsors, including ourselves, have done something that has never ever been done before, and that is raise millions and millions of dollars of retail capital to acquire institutional sized assets. In 2023, we closed on our largest transaction ever, which was a $105 million three property portfolio. And we raised that exclusively through retail high net worth means. There was no one single large investor or LP. And this is very different because this sort of thing never happened before. Deals that were 20 million and up were always done by institutional type sponsors and institutional type equity partners. But like I said, through the Jobs Act in 2012, which allowed the SEC now allowed people to do syndications, it birthed syndications. And so now we do 506B or 506C syndications, which allow us to get an SEC exemption to essentially sell securities. And that revolutionized the game, like I said. Similarly, through social media, we're able to rapidly and dramatically grow our reach, where we're able to reach hundreds and thousands of investors, so we can actually raise, with a $50,000 minimum, we can raise 10, 20, 30, $50 million to acquire 100 million plus assets, which, like I said, has never been done before. So what does this all mean? Well, something that's really interesting, in my opinion, is the fact that this middle market space, which has always been a moving target, has really moved rapidly more recently. So, and when I say middle market, I mean kind of sub-institutional space. Before, I would say the sub-institutional middle market space was like $10 to $25 million deals. Then it kind of increased to $20 to $50 million deals. And it just keeps going higher and higher because syndicators are able to pull together retail capital and larger pools of retail capital to compete with institutional funds. And if you're sitting here as a sponsor like we are, and you're looking at your capital raising landscape, and you have a private equity firm that is willing to offer you, let's say, a $5 million check, which is not as common anymore, but that used to be quite common. They'd offer you a $5 million check, and the value proposition was, hey, we're providing you a single check source for $5 million, so you don't have to go run around and raise a bunch of capital. In exchange, though, we need control rights, we're going to do heavy due diligence, and also you're not going to be able to charge as high of fees on our capital, and the promote structure is going to be less favorable to you. A sponsor back in the day would be heavily inclined to take that deal because syndicating $5 million was very uncommon. Well, today, if you look around, most competent sponsors are very capable of raising $5 million of retail capital. So they're going to be less inclined to take that $5 million check from an institutional investor who's going to have a bunch more red tape, be less favorable from an economic perspective, and be overall, perhaps, this is not always the case, but could be more difficult to work with, right? And certainly there's a lot of headaches and a lot more difficulty associated with raising retail capital as well. But therein lies this kind of new emerging issue in the market. Middle market private equity funds are finding themselves competing against retail investors because their $5 million check isn't as enticing as it once was. Now they have to offer a $10 million check to be competitive and to entice the sponsor to take it. And we've seen this become, we've seen this evolution with us as well. When we first started out, we'd be more than happy to take a $2 million check, or really any check from anyone, right? Because we were early on in our journey. And now that we have more experience, we were more established with our investors, we can be a bit more selective with who we want to work with and how we want to work with them. So if an institutional partner came to us with a $5 million check, but it came with a lot of strings attached, we would be less inclined to take it. And we would instead have the capability to syndicate it. So this is what I call the disintermediation of the middle market private equity fund. Middle market private equity funds need to grow and raise more and more capital so they can invest larger and larger checks so they can still command the same terms economically and control rights wise as they did before. But instead of it being a $5 million check, it has to be perhaps a $15 million check or even a $20 million check. What does this mean for the retail investor? I think this is all in all extremely positive. Going back to 2012 with the Jobs Act, I don't want to say the everyday person because it's still, you know, high net worth individuals who are accredited, but it's high net worth individuals now out competing in many cases against funds. So, and this is a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. Because first of all, democratizing access to private real estate investments, this is a great thing. And it's getting more and more true as sponsors are heard more, right? If a sponsor is doing a private equity deal, but nobody knows about it, does it even happen, right? So if a sponsor has the reach, has the investors that are interested in investing, they're providing that benefit. And there's that disintermediation that's happening that where the private equity firm's kind of getting left out. This is a good thing, in my opinion. But the bad thing is one of the benefits of there being this more bureaucratic, more institutional capital formation process where a private equity firm would go and pull together their private equity fund, and then they would go and use that fund to be an LP with sponsors across different asset classes and strategies, geographies, right? That there's benefits there too, because that bureaucracy and that chain of capital formation actually in some ways benefits the net investor. Specifically, it benefits the net investor because there's more sophistication, generally speaking, happening in that scenario. If a private equity fund is pulling together capital, that private equity firm is in many cases a better steward of capital than someone willy-nilly raising capital through the internet. Let's just face it, that's just the truth. There's a lot of great sponsors, and we pride ourselves to be a great sponsor, and we aspire to be a great sponsor, but we have other people in the industry that may not be, you know, great sponsors, if I do say so myself, right? And that's where you get into a tricky situation where now people have the mouthpiece, they have the marketing capabilities to attract those individual investors, but are they allocating that investor capital as best as it could be allocated? You know, sure, the benefit of disintermediation is you could be enjoying a less dilutive fee and compensation structure, because if we're raising capital, we're going straight to the investor. Whereas if an investor is investing into a private equity fund and then that fund is an LP with us, right, there's a double fee and double promote structure there, which can dilute the net return. However, not all sponsors have a favorable fee structure, right? If someone is unsophisticated and they invest with a sponsor who does, number one, a poor job of allocating the capital, poor job of operating the invested asset, and then also charges an uncompetitive fee and promote structure, now that investor is really being hurt. So there are benefits to the kind of more institutional capital formation structure, right? And but there's this, nevertheless, there's this interesting phenomenon occurring. So I think it's good for people that it's working for. You know, for us and our investors, it's a fantastic thing, and we're really excited about the ability to reach more investors and to grow together. At the same time, we continue to further the relationships that we have with institutional equity partners because we know that they can play a special role in our deals and in our strategy as well. One last point about retail investors. I think today is a very, very exciting opportunity to be a retail investor. See, the problem with funds, even though they're so sophisticated, is they have a little bit of herd mentality. With herd mentality, these different funds right now, and you know, big name funds, we're here in New York, you've got big names like Angelo Gordon and Goldman Sachs is literally right there. These funds look at each other to see what each other are doing. And right now there's a big pause in the market. People are quote unquote waiting for the dust to settle. They're waiting for interest rates to stabilize. They want to figure out where cap rates are headed. And they're sitting on the sidelines. They're sitting out. And I'll tell you right now, there's some really amazing deals to be had. We've closed on a fantastic deal this year already. We have an amazing deal under contract right now. And these are deals that would never exist if it weren't for all the dislocation occurring in the market today. But the institutional investors are on the sidelines. They're missing out. And that's where the retail investor comes in. Because a retail investor, yes, they have their own psychological barriers and they're looking at the stock market, they're looking at the headlines. But a retail investor can break out of that and think for themselves. And if a retail investor has a relationship with a sponsor that they're confident in, and that sponsor is willing to have courage and capital in today's market, they can do very, very well.